The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 12 degrees and raining at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Russ Tellier, and here are today's headlines. More and more people can't keep up with inflation, the battle on where students can vote, and are politicians ignoring minority issues? Inflation reached 7% in August. Statistics Canada revealed its latest figures this morning. The rise of inflation keeps on cooling down for the second time, but its effects are still impacting Canadians. Our reporter, Clément Lechat, joins us with more. Clément, how is inflation impacting food security in Montreal?
In 2021, 5.8 million Canadians lived in food insecure households, according to a study from the University of Toronto. This number is expected to rise as inflation soars. Krista Smith-Kingston is a worker at Innovation Jeune, a new food bank in Montreal. She says there is no longer affordable food options available in downtown Montreal.
In downtown Montreal, there are very few initiatives in food security. There are some grocery stores, but in terms of local fresh produce, it's difficult to come by. Atwater Market would be the closest, and it is far from affordable to the mass public.
Is the government doing enough to address the inflation issue?
I talked to political analyst Ethan Cox this morning, and he was quite disappointed with the CAQ's handling of inflation. This is what he had to say.
We need strong government action to address the chasm, the widening chasm between the rich and the rest of us, and that's not what we're getting from the CAQ.
What could be done to get back to normal inflation rates around 2%?
Ethan Cox thinks that the provincial government should tax the rich more in order to help the most vulnerable Quebecers, who are more targeted by the consequences of inflation.
You know, we have runaway inequality that is fueling inflation, and we need proactive government policies that are going to be targeted at the richest members of society to make sure they're paying their fair share.
The pace of inflation is expected to continue slowing down next month.
Thank you, Clément, for your report. In the last year since the COVID-19 pandemic, business on St. Catherine Street has boomed. The City of Montreal is continuing this momentum by launching the second phase of its participatory project, the Working Forum. Originally launched on August 7th, the Village Forum project aims to improve and rethink the future of Ville-Marie Borough. And for local business owners of the area, expectations for this project are positive. Louise Brun-Newhook has the story.
Plans to rebuild the primary commercial artery of Montreal are in the works. That's right, St. Catherine Street is getting a makeover. But as far as Dépanneur owner Juhirul Islam is concerned, the east side of St. Catherine's is already looking much better.
City Forum is going good now, starting good after COVID. Like more people, I see more tourists coming also in this area. Like my business, I see the more business going up. It's easy to walk out, people are more free, it's coming nicer. Everybody like the nice thing.
Yeah.
So city what doing to me looks nice. We have to accept the problem to get the better life.
But not only are the ideas for innovation important for small businesses and the business district, for Mayor Valérie Plante, it's also a question of pride for Quebec. An upgrade to Montreal's most important borough and street would make the city and the province stand out to other parts of the government and to Canada itself. St. Catherine Street, the village, are important for Montreal, but they're even more important for all of Quebec. It is obviously the biggest, but also the most dynamic borough in the province, and we want to feel a surge of love from all levels of government, including the federal government itself. Discussions surrounding innovative solutions for one of Montreal's most famous neighborhoods will be held over the course of the next 3 days. With over 20 talks and day-long activities planned, ideas for the future of Ville-Marie are expected to flow, much to the delight of local business owners. For Concordia News, I'm Louise Brun-Newhook.
Thank you, Louise. The retail giant Walmart will build its first distribution center, estimated at $100 million, at Vaudreuil-Dorion. It will be approximately 40,000 square meters. It will create 225 jobs. Walmart hopes to offer a greater number of products. It also hopes to increase velocity of shipments. The distribution center will open in 2024. The CAQ has made it difficult for students to vote if their current address doesn't match the address on their student registration. Jessica Jakubowicz has the story.
There is speculation that the CAQ is intentionally making it harder for students to vote and worries that they will vote for other parties. As the CAQ is predicted to win and currently leading by 38%, student Tatiana Pelletier weighs in.
Yeah, so I live 10 minutes away from my campus, but I can't vote there. I have to drive like an hour and 40 just to go home to vote because the CAQ won't allow us to vote on their campus, even though it was done before and it clearly worked and there were no issues. So I really think it's a political agenda. They're trying to stop young voters from voting because they know they're not their electorate. They know that the younger people will vote for other parties because they don't agree with their politics. So I really think it's a political move that they don't allow young voters to vote on campus as they should be able to, as they have done in the past.
Ethan Cox, a political commentator, also believes that the CAQ has a political agenda and that this is not acceptable.
We know the turnout is not as high as we would like it to be among younger demographics. So, of course, it only makes sense from a democratic standpoint to be making it as easy as possible for students to vote where they are, which in many cases is around their campuses and not where they grew up.
This has been Jessica Jakubowicz for Concordia News.
Owning a house in Montreal for the working class is getting difficult day by day. A recent study can show that the pandemic and the rising inflation rate has put stress on individuals to find sustainable housing. Here's Ashka Patel with the story.
Finding a house has been a task for a lot of people. Ali recently bought a house and he has a lot of say for the situation. So Ali said that it has been stressful for him to find a house and he had to participate in a bidding battle to get secure his place for the house. He said he has been lucky because he was pre-approved by the government to buy a house and that made it easier for him to get a house. He took almost 2 years to find his current living situation and he had to change cities to do so. He finds it's very inconvenient that he could not find a place where he used to live. For the same thing, we also talked to a real estate agent named Leo Mescron, who said buying a house is becoming difficult, not only because there are less and less listings available, but the interest rate for the housing has also gone up substantially. Working class people cannot afford the interest rate, and so they are opting not to buy a house anymore. According to the study, we see that 26% of people 26% of the people are living by paycheck to paycheck basis, and they say that it has been difficult to sustain themselves in the last 1 year. This is Ashka Patel for Concordia News.
A lot of issues have come up in the election campaign. Language rights, the environment, power to the regions. But one issue that hasn't received a lot of attention is minority rights. Our reporter, Leila Ahuman, spoke with Egbert Gay, the editor of Montreal's black community newspaper, Community Contact. He agrees that politicians need to pay a lot more attention to minority issues.
Racism is when you look at education, employment, when you look at youth place in society, how many kids in jail, how many kids are caught up in the system, how many kids are underemployed. That's systemic racism.
So, in your opinion, is there enough coverage of the discrimination that minorities face in this provincial election?
You live in a province where a guy says, look, there's no systemic racism here. He's a premier, and he speaks with a powerful voice. So he says, there's no systemic racism. Everybody gets a chance. Look, I have a few black people among my candidates. You know, so he sees that as the way of where people fit in and have opportunities when it's not so. Now, what you need is political leaders that are highly conscious and highly informed that would bring something like that to the attention. Do we have those politicians? Not really. Politicians of really strong repute to do that. I mean, look, let's say you take a guy like Balarama Holness. He is black. He is young. He is in Montreal.
Can he address discriminatory legislation in Quebec?
He's too busy talking about Montreal's place in Quebec because that's an easier topic to deal with. You know, it's easier to talk about the big issues. It really takes strength of character and, you know, it takes something bigger than your aspirations. You know, because if you aspire to be a big politician in Quebec, you better don't tell Quebec that you're racist. Because Quebec don't want to hear that they're racist. They don't want to hear about systemic racism.
That was Leila Ahuman speaking with Egbert Gay, the editor of Community Contact. A couple from Blainville were fined $38,000 last week for buying cigarettes from Ganawagi. They were intercepted by four police cars after going for pizza. They have contacted lawyers and plan on contesting the fine in court. They claim that they had no intention of selling the cigarettes and only purchased them for personal use. Quebec police maintain that it is illegal to purchase cigarettes that do not have federal stamps. These stamps indicate that the cigarettes were legally produced. The bus problems with the Quebec Education Boards continue. The latest update comes as the bus drivers want the government to pay them more. Buses have become essential with families moving further away into the suburbs. The issue is also important in Montreal, even though there is public transportation. Lucia Cazignet brings us the live updates. Lucia, you've been talking with parents. What do they have to say about this?
So I spoke with a parent this morning from the school as he was dropping off his 12-year-old son. He said he does not feel safe having him take three different public buses to get to school. So for him, it's really an issue that there's schools that still don't get that service that they should be getting because they pay for it, essentially. Also, around 8:30 in the morning, West Broadway and Terrebonne become chaotic as a lineup of cars blocks the way as parents have to drop off their children because of the lack of buses.
Did you get any input from the school officials about this issue?
I was actually able to speak with the principal of the school this morning as he was coming in. He believes this issue is very important, especially for specific kids who may have some disabilities or hard access to navigating the public transport system. Some of these kids, they cannot be taking the public bus alone, so they definitely need the service, and it becomes an added stress for parents and the kids who attend the school if before the school year starts, they don't know if they're going to be getting the service.
Have the organizations said anything about this issue still not being resolved?
I spoke with the Bus Carrier Federation this morning, and they declined to comment due to the ongoing negotiations. The Lester B. Pearson Board was not able to speak with me, but they do have a lot to say about it in their meeting board. But it does seem that most of the parties that are involved will not be giving any comments to the media until the issue is over.
Thank you for the update, Lucia. That was Lucia Cazignet for Live for Us in front of École Saint-Luc here in NDG. An alleged shoplifter was involved in a police chase and car collision yesterday in Laval. The collision occurred around Laurentian Boulevard and Grenoble shortly before 5 p.m. The alleged shoplifter was injured in said collision and taken to hospital. He is in stable condition. The alleged shoplifter's car was identified by a security guard. Quebec's Independent Investigations Office is investigating the incident. In arts and entertainment news, the Montreal International Film Festival opens today. Musicians from Quebec claim that the SOCAN is not paying them their dues. And we know that the winner of the Polaris Music Prize, Tatiana Mulawi-Peltier, has our All Arts News.
This is it! The winner of the 2022 Polaris Music Prize is... Pierre Quinders.
The 2022 Colorist Music Prize Awards ceremony was held in Toronto last night. Artists from all across the country met to celebrate the best of Canadian music. The Congolese Montreal-based artist Pierre Quanders won the Colorist Music Prize for his third album, José Luis and the Paradox of Love. The awards come with a $50,000 cash prize. Quanders won over the nine other musicians who made the short Colorist shortlist. The 13 indigenous and francophone artists, including Corneille, Elisapi, and Vincent Vallière, claimed that the SOCAN, the Society of Authors, Composers, and Music Publishers of Canada, owe them royalties. In an open letter published this morning, they accused the organization of favoring English music and undermining their work with their formula. The Quebecois artists claimed that they missed at least 45% of their royalties between 2019 and 2021. The SOCAN responded that their market was to blame for their missed revenues.
And my mother, so bad.
Come on, you know everybody in this neighborhood, don't you?
What'd you see? You saw all three shots? Was it like bang, bang, bang?
I had nobody.
Is that it?
Should I not?
There's a car there, right? Green car?
Yeah. Yes.
You're doing good, Eddie. Next to the green car. Did you see who
Come on, Eddie. I just need a name.
Not good enough. See, I don't know.
Who pulled the trigger, Eddie? You know who.
This was a clip of the Lovely Jackson documentary, which will be opening the Montreal International Black Film Festival tonight. The documentary retells the life story of Ricky Jackson, the person who was wrongfully incarcerated for the longest period of time in American history. Lovely Jackson is one of the many movies that will be presented at the Montreal Black Film Festival from September 20th to September 25th in different locations in the city. The festival is an opportunity for black filmmakers to share their stories with the world. In other news, the much-anticipated movie Don't Worry Darling is coming out this Friday in theaters. Quebec singer Begalzou died at 74 last night. The singer, whose real name is Diane Primo-Guerin, was a staple of Quebecois music scene in the 80s and 90s. This was Tatiana Miller-Pelletier for The Arts.
Today in sports, FIBA announced the roster for the Women's World Cup starting on Thursday. The Giants won with an epic comeback against the Colorado Rockies yesterday. The Buffalo Bills beat the Tennessee Titans 41-7, and PK Subban just announced his retirement this morning. Simon Fournet has more with sports.
They are 1-for-2 in the game. Subban wide and shoots. He scores! PK Subban on the power play.
PK Subban just announced his retirement from the NHL today. The 33-year-old former Habs defender made the announcement on social media where he thanked his fans and loved ones and said he was looking forward to the road ahead and the opportunities to come.
First down and 10 at the Tennessee 11. It's the opening drive for the Buffalo Bills. Allen off the play fake. Gives it to Gilliam, the fullback. Trying to make some people miss. Down the sideline. End zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. It's Reggie Gilliam.
In week two of the 2022 NFL season, the Tennessee Titans lost against the Buffalo Bills last night. With the Josh Allen and Stephen Diggs duo, the Buffalo Bills scored 34 unanswered points. The quarterback and receiver are off to a good start. Diggs caught 12 passes for 148 yards and 3 touchdowns, and Allen threw 4 touchdowns.
Runners get to take off. There they go. Tyro hits it down the left field line. Hits it deep. It is gone! Tyro Estrada! A 3-run homer!
Right here.
In baseball
just
yesterday,
look,
the Giants got an impressive comeback win against the Colorado Rockies
at
Coors Field.
Pitch to get
Tyro Estrada led the Giants to a 10-7 win by hitting a 3-run homer with 2 outs in the 10th. In basketball news, Natalie Ochonwo, Bridget Carlton, and Kia Nurse headline Canada's roster for the upcoming FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup, starting on Thursday in Australia. And that's it for sports.
There was an alleged bear sighting in Dollar Des Armeaux on Monday night. Someone called police at around 8:40 p.m. and reported the alleged bear. Police responded by advising residents to stay home and keep their doors closed. They also thoroughly searched an area between Sources and Sunnybrook Boulevards, but never found a bear. Expect scattered showers during the day, leading to a cold evening of 13 degrees. Tomorrow, expect a peak of sunshine with a high of 19 and a low of 13. Thursday will bring a few more rain clouds before sunny skies on Friday and Saturday. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Russ Tellier.